My name's Hadessa Parkey, and I'm in eighth grade. And
my name is Susan Nabholz, and I teach eighth grade and seventh grade and sixth grade, but these eighth graders.
My name is Coda Poulin. I'm in eighth grade.
My name is Hermione Lamphere, and I'm in eighth grade.
I'm Elena Doyle, and I'm in eighth grade.
Let's start there with the Fairbanks trip. What was that all about? What were you doing?
We were going to the State Bowl for FPS and CPS, and there was also global issues, problem solving too. And we went up there, and we had to put together our trifold displays, and that was our part of it. We also participated in a group skit with the global issues problem solving kids, and we performed that. But our judging was upstairs where we had the trifold displays, and they came and asked us about our projects and gave us a little interview, basically. And that's how what we got scored on, as well as our report. That's, I was looking for the word. Thank you. That's basically it summarized.
So this is future problem solving, right? And so how does this work?
The portion of future problem solving that we used to work with was global issues problem solving. So the previous Quest teacher here, Quest is the gifted program, but it's integrated into my language arts classes. They did global issues where they had a future scenario and then had to follow a framework of written responses and different kinds of thinking. But last year I decided that it's way cooler for the kids to actually apply what they're doing instead of just filling out a booklet and having a booklet when they're finished. Even though it's an academic exercise, it's really valuable. So we switched last year to the community-based problem solving. And this year there were just two schools in the state doing it, our school and one in Fairbanks. But then there's not a set topic. The kids got to select their own topic, anything that they wanted to select. So maybe Hermione could say more about that.
Yeah, how do you decide what to select? How does that conversation go?
Melena started the whole group that I'm in, but she got it from a book that she was reading. And
okay. Yeah, tell me about the book that you read.
Well, I'm a gymnast, and my coach was kind of having all of my teammates read this book. I forgot the title. It was by Lisa Mitzel, though. But it pretty much talked about like ways to overcome mental blocks. And I thought, oh, this is actually pretty cool to read about. So I was just sitting here in language arts like, oh, pick something that you know about. You may have read up on it recently. I'm like, okay. And then Hermione transferred from Miss Miranda's language arts class, and she's like, can you adopt me in your group? I'm just like, sure. So then we put a PowerPoint together, and we've just been going around the school talking about a bunch of different mental topics, and it's been really cool.
Can you give me like a Reader's Digest version of what the PowerPoint presentation is, and what sort of the basics are and the message that you're trying to get out?
Well, it's the basics of stress and anxiety and depression, because it can be a pretty heavy topic once you start to talk about it. So, and since we are talking about this with seventh and eighth graders, we wanted to kind of lighten it and just kind of go over the basics and how you can recognize the signs.
So you took this project to Fairbanks, and how did it do? Did you get some feedback? How did that go?
It went pretty well. I won second. Our team got second, and Gretchen, who was the supervisor, she was the interviewer person, and she gave us some pretty good feedback and was very nice about it too.
And we'll get a lot of written feedback. She gives them feedback on their written report as well as the interview process, and there's a really complex scoring rubric, so they'll actually get information on like how flexible was their thinking, how in-depth was their research, a whole bunch of different components, how much impact on the community would a project have.
So it wasn't just that you saw this in a book necessarily. Is it something that you see a need for in the community?
I mean, I guess it depends. Some people can hide it pretty well if they're struggling with something like this, but we pretty much just wanted to point them in the direction of some resources if they were struggling with it or how to tell someone else's. And if we can just help one kid in the slightest bit, then the whole thing's worth it.
Mm-hmm. And, well, the rates of depression have gone up a lot recently, and it's kind of one of the topics where it's like, oh, that's, we don't want to talk about that. That's too depressing. So if we can make it so that it's okay to talk about these things, then it would make me and Milena feel so much better, because we just want to help people, because, I mean, it's better to help people, so.
And what have you learned about how people hide this? That is a big part of it, is everybody is on some level of working through something on a given day. Did you learn a lot about the different ways that people mask this, or?
Yes, because there are some people they'll talk about it, but then when they're confronted with it, they'll be like, nope, that's not me. And then there's people who just kind of just stuff it down, and they're like, I don't ever want to think about it, I don't want to do anything. But then it gets worse and worse because they're not seeking help with what they need. And there's usually just the two types, and then there can be just different people who are different with it. So I mean,
well, that, yeah, everybody's different with it. Hadessa, so were you in with the same project with these guys?
Yeah, I'm a group by myself, and I'm an artist, so I wanted to do a project that had to do with art. And what really inspired me to do my project was I read, I think it was an article on how, on all the budget cuts in schools that are causing the arts programs to be taken out of the schools all over America, everywhere. And that made me really sad, because I think that art is a really important part of student education, and I don't think that that should be something that gets taken out of schools. So I started an after-school art club here. I call it Psych Art Club, which is an acronym for Please Sketch Your Comic, Hadessa, courtesy of Mrs. Knappholz. And so I've been holding those art clubs on Wednesdays from 2:45 to 4 o'clock in the school's art room, and we experiment with all the different supplies and create little art pieces together, and we just go there and have fun, and it's basically like a few hours that the students can just hang out and be creative and make friends. And it's been a really positive experience for me and the students, and it's something that I hope to continue throughout the school year and use to raise awareness for the cause.
Yeah. So it sounds like in a time where it's more and more difficult to find structured class time for the arts specifically, this is a way to supplement that and find some outlet anyway.
Mm-hmm. What I started to do was teach them lessons, but what I learned was that they enjoyed just getting to have that time to just let their creativity like flow after the long school day and all the stress. It's kind of just a relaxing time where they can sit together and draw and talk with other artists. And I think that lots of the students really enjoy getting to release stress in a positive way.
And so, Coda, what was your project? What have you been working on?
Well, the main problem of our project was how high drowning rates are in U.S. as a whole and Alaska. So our group is Swim Lessons for Alaskan Children, which is SLAC as the acronym. And we're doing fundraisers. The money from the fundraisers will go into a scholarship program. And then kids who need financial assistance can apply for the scholarship program and get money to do swim lessons.
That's a pretty big undertaking when you're talking about scholarships and raising funds and that kind of stuff. Have you ever done anything like that before?
No.
What are you learning about it? What do you think? It's kind of hard work to go out and...
Yeah, it's a big project to try to take, but we're making progress, and we have a run on May 5th. We have an account open at the Nagiski Pool, and all the money will go there so kids that sign up can get swim lessons.
So these do sound like very practical, everyday things that you can relate to, it probably wasn't that difficult for you to relate to how these problems affect people and what how can we help. Coda, for your project, have you gotten some good responses? What have people thought about it?
We've gotten a lot of responses. We talked to Rachel at the Nagiski Pool, and she thought it was a great idea, and she was very open to support this and help us with the project going forward. We've had multiple people around the school who've heard the announcement and said, that's a great idea, support that?
Well, I formerly, before I taught at KMS, I was at Kenai Central High School for 13 years. And for me, the hardest units to teach because of the workload, but also the most meaningful things that I taught, I feel like we're having students involved in caring for the Kenai, and also having students do the job shadow program. And anytime there was a connection to the real world with their learning, kids want to learn. Because then there's a reason to do the research. There's a reason to do the writing. There's a reason to put all the work in. And I would see kids just pour heart and soul into those things. So that's why last year I was like, we have to, when I read about the community problem solving piece of the puzzle, just wanted to switch over to that. And I think that maybe before I would have about 10% of the kids super excited of what they did with their global issues booklet, and they learned about new topics and things. But this time around, I think it's about 90% of the kids that are very excited with the projects that they're doing. And the amount of work that they're putting into it, just because it's real. There's a reason to do it. And if somebody questions, well, how is that language arts? It's public speaking, it's researching, it's interviewing people. I mean, we have students, these kids came and they did a presentation in front of the school board. They email government figures, you know, like they contact people in charge of local agencies. They're sending emails before I even check them. And they're pretty in it, and they're doing fine with it, you know. And I think it's real world learning. It's authentic learning. And there is a whole complicated system behind it, but I like that the community problem solving is more open ended because, I mean, you can listen to Hadessa's passionate about art. You know, everybody who is doing their projects, Coda is a top notch swimmer and wants kids to learn to swim, not only because it's fun, because it will save their lives too. And the girls that joined him with his project this year just dove right in. Sorry, no pun intended, but just really got into the project. And they were able to go to Fairbanks when he wasn't and did great with their presentation up there. So it was really exciting. And all the kids have different projects.
I'm curious, you know, in doing a lot of research, you'll come up with statistics and numbers and that sort of thing. Outside of that kind of information, numbers and statistics, what's the thing that you've learned in studying these things that surprised you the most or meant the most to you that made you really want to dig in a little bit more?
I've had a few friends that have been dealing with depression and anxiety, and they'll hit me up on my phone and be like, hey, dealing with this today, and then I'll send them a huge paragraph or something. But I mean, sometimes it can get, I mean, this is going to sound horrible, but it can get kind of exhausting when one person has to just control all that all the time and kind of take care of it. But if we can just find a more healthy way for someone to manage that, like see a counselor or someone that's hired to kind of do that, it would be definitely easier, more beneficial. I mean, just finding some resources so other people don't have to worry about someone else as well, because it's hard on both ways.
And how about in the art world?
I tried, when I was doing my trifold display, I wanted to make like a pie chart on it of how many schools in the U.S. still have arts, like still offer arts courses, and how many don't. But I couldn't find that information, which I thought was kind of weird, and I didn't really like how it was unknown of how many schools still have arts and how many schools don't. I want to make it like a secure thing where schools don't have to worry about that and they'll always have the arts. And that was kind of the information I didn't discover.
I think for me, it's really about the process. The kids have a topic that they're passionate about, but more than that, they realize that adults will listen to kids who care. Adults will step up and pay attention. And they're interested, other kids will pay attention, and that they do have power. Anybody who thinks that teenagers aren't doing great things in our community, they don't know the right teenagers, because I get to work with awesome kids. This is an amazing job to have, and to spend time with 12, 13, and 14-year-olds who are making an impact, however small it is it's really empowering. And I think that you know, some of the groups found that they had more setbacks than successes. And they learned as much from the setbacks, like planning something that was too big and realizing they needed to adjust their goals, or realizing that that wasn't the right person to contact, but that person gave them the contact for the right person, you know, or the right agency or organization. And that is fine. All you have to do is, you know, they learned how to take the steps. And they learn a lot of different thinking, because sometimes they have to be a little more analytical and problem solve, and sometimes they have to just be kind of crazy and creative, which is actually how we started the process, just random brainstorming. Yes, and we do get a little crazy and creative, but it does make it a lot more interesting.
Well, that's where the best ideas come
yeah,
from.
Yeah, very much so. So I think it's just that, kind of the process of going through it. And I hope it's one of those things that they'll look back on when they're adults and feel like it was pretty life-changing for them.
Making broad change isn't the easiest thing in the world. It takes a lot of, and everybody's shaking heads in agreement with that. It's such a huge idea of making a change in the world, but were you encouraged by carrying out this project and the ability to affect change in some way? Were you encouraged by it, or boy, that's a lot of work? And yeah.
I mean, everyone has a goal. Everyone has different ways of achieving it. But yeah.
Yeah. I was encouraged because I just wanted to make sure that everyone felt safe and that almost everyone felt safe and that they would have someone to talk to about the issues that they might be going through, because that makes me really happy to think that I might have helped someone.
Yeah.
So I was encouraged by all the hard work I was doing.
How about you, Coda?
Well, we saw that it was hard, but we were passionate about it and we wanted it to happen. So we put forth all the hard work to make sure that our goal happened.
With my project, I wanted to figure out a way that I could introduce this to the rest of the U.S. and use it to raise awareness on a more widespread scale. And I will actually be moving out of states this summer, so I was thinking that in some way I could bring it with me and incorporate it in New York, where I'll be moving.
Okay, well, last year I did the program with my 7th graders and my 8th graders all the way to going to the state meet in Cordova. That was a little overwhelming because it was almost 50 kids and anywhere from 1 to 4 kids in a group. But this year I narrowed it down. I'm introducing it to my 7th graders and doing the full projects with the 8th graders. The good news is some of the current 7th graders want to adopt the 8th graders' project so that those will continue. And some of these guys have discussed continuing the projects like Hadesa in the future, or possibly next door at the high school, or coming back and mentoring kids here, or something like the Slack fun run at the beach that's going to be for fundraising for the swim lessons. They're hoping it could be something annual, you know, that could easily be replicated in future years. But some of the other projects, we have a school-wide paper recycling, 3 boys whose names all have H's, so it's HHH paper recycling school-wide. And they had some pretty positive results. One of our night custodians has been at the school for, I believe, 27 years, and he thinks he's had about a 1/3 reduction in garbage going out of the building on his shift because of the paper recycling. And they've hundreds of pounds of paper that they've redirected. Another group that went to Fairbanks and Cordova also last year was Katie and Caitlin, and their project is kind of like 4-H, but they called it 4F. And it's food for families and feathered friends, and has kind of an interesting connection. They gather food from the lunchroom that might otherwise get thrown away, like fresh fruit and granola bars, snacks, milk, and those things go to the school secretaries and the nurse. So they go home with kids who need food or maybe didn't have breakfast and have a little extra something during the day. And then they also have scraps that go to their chickens. And that's been a 2-year project, and I do know that we'll have some kids that are interested in continuing that next year, maybe also with vermiculture and worm composting right here live in the school. My little pets might live here next year. And then a couple of the groups are using social media. So the Slack group has a Facebook page and an Instagram feed that's going. Their event won't happen until May 5th, so there's not as much happening with theirs, but Hadesa's Psych Art Club has an Instagram feed of students working on their projects, sharing their work. And then one of the projects is just that. It's Got a Spork, as in the school lunch utensil. And they actually have postings they're putting on pretty regularly of the students eating healthy lunches at our school. And so it's their ultimate goal was, they started last year, was to change the school lunch program, realized that was a huge thing to try to implement. And so they are using their social media just to say, look at awesome healthy food that kids are eating, whether it's school lunch or lunch brought from home. And then another really successful group, theirs is just an annual project. One of the girls, Sydney, had been working on it for about 3 or 4 years on her own. and was kind of inspired by her mom, who does the teddy bear backpacks for kids who've been in crisis situations. These girls used social media back in November and December to raise $1,400 cash, and that money they went shopping and bought Christmas gifts and winter clothing for all the children at Lee Shore Center. So $1,400 worth. They actually had more money than they needed for the number of children who were living there at the time. And they're trying to make that that will be an annual project. And then one of the other groups that went to Fairbanks, Frost, so that's Johan and Luke and Summer, wanted a big winter event. They wanted people building snowmen all over Kenai. Random corner, turn the corner, there'd be a snowman. There's another snowman. There's another snowman. But winter went away while they were working on their project. And so it came out to be friends rolling one snowball at a time. And they did sort of a slush cup obstacle course the day after we finished the PEAKS mandated state testing, and had over 100 kids crawling through the snow, rolling tires, leaping across hurdles, falling face first in the snow, and live music by band students out there playing like the Mission Impossible theme song. So that was really successful.
And after a bunch of boring test taking, oh my gosh.
Exactly, and they just got to go and run around in the snow and have fun. And there was just, they didn't even have enough time to have all the kids run the course. So it's a really, pretty much the kids could pick any project that they want to do. And the ones, some of them were putting a lot of extra work in on it to be able to go to the state meet, more than just the project, but all the writing, all the extra research, creating the displays. We were up until the middle of the night, a couple of nights in a row. We were having fun, but we were making their shirts and finishing their displays and finishing their slideshows, their PowerPoint presentations. And
one of the reasons that this kind of works is that you get the kids, again, outside of their normal classroom, outside of themselves a little bit, and there's some empathy to this. And as you said, it's public speaking, it's writing, it's looking at socioeconomic things. It's way, way outside of the normal day.
It is, and it's kind of weird because class doesn't feel quite as normal when we're working on the community problem solving projects, because kids are all doing different sorts of things. But I find it interesting that the district has come back around, like focusing on personalized learning. But so many teachers in the district already do personalized learning. And I know in this school, there's lots and lots of projects that kids do that have a real world connection in a whole bunch of the different classes. And to me, that's just more of that. I do feel fortunate that I have students who are very motivated, but I think a lot of students are more motivated when there is a real connection to something that they're passionate about. And I don't pick their projects for them. They pick their own project. I will help them brainstorm ideas based on what it is that they want to come up with. And sometimes they come up with a project, and like the Frost group with making snowman, my first thought was, where is this going to go? But they researched seasonal affective disorder, spent a ton of time on the Mayo Clinic's website, were really learning about it, and said that outdoor physical activity and exposure to a little bit of sunshine in the winter makes a huge difference for seasonal affective disorder. So doing that, and a lot of people don't get outdoors in the spring, they figured out how to make it work, and kind of was amazing. Other groups come up with a project and you're like, well, obviously paper recycling, great, but how are you going to make it more exciting or more innovative? They were giving origami awards out made out of recycled paper for the recyclers of the week for a while. So they always come up with kind of a fun twist on it. And they do have to think about things differently. The FPS program for the global issues teams at other schools too has to think from different perspectives, and they get quote unquote more points for doing that. They have to think about things like social relationships, physical health, psychological health, business and commerce, economics. And if you ask any global issues kid from another school, they have that memorized. In fact, we have a wrap on our Facebook page that this year's ninth graders made about all the categories. If you want to look that up on videos on KMS Facebook, I think it's still there. But they learn that you can't just go into a situation and think about it from your own perspective, that you have to think about it from different perspectives, and then narrow it down to what's the most important, then do more brainstorming for the next step and figure out who the resources are going to be. And I think that's the piece that I help them with the most is, okay, well, who, I know enough people in the community from like Job Shadow and things like that. It's been a huge resource for me that I can tap them into the right person at the hospital or the right person, at least to contact initially, mm-hmm. to email. And these kids are not shy about sending an email out. Sometimes they'll ask me to edit it, sometimes not, before they hit send. I think more adults could do that as well, but not me. Please don't come to me for all your email editing. I would have to charge you. But No, anyway, they're awesome about just using their resources and finding a way to make it work. And my students, I think my classes are a little bit different. I feel like we have the freedom in this school, especially in the support of our administrators. And the students are used to it, to doing some project-based learning that is not always from a textbook or from a worksheet.
Yeah.
And I feel kind of spoiled that I get to do that with some of my classes. And the kids are used to it.
Very
so
cool.
All the kids did a project and a written report. But these guys did, it's really broken down pretty analytically. Like, they had to sit and look at, you know, the area of concern and what kind of challenges there were, focus on the actual underlying problem, brainstorm lots of possible solutions, and this is what the judge will give them feedback on. You know, and then they had to identify. So it's really like expository writing and narrating every detail of what they did step by step in their whole project. And then the last part I call the warm, fuzzy part. They can reflect on it, like what kind of impact they're going to have. But the kids that went to state also did, they had like PowerPoint presentations or, you know, that were looping. They made a scrapbook, like a portfolio kind of a thing. They had to do this kind of like a science fair display. They were interviewed by the judge. So they were doing all of these things that not everybody in class did or wanted to do. I mean, some of them were like, I'm going to do enough.
Yeah.
But enough is still a lot for a lot of them.
Right.
And there is a team from Fairbanks going to internationals. We are going to host the state FPS meet next year. It previously was here 3 years ago, but I wasn't doing any community problem solving. And I know that now there's Fairbanks schools. Next year, I know that one of the coaches in Cordova has specific groups that want to do community problem solving. So, and I'm hoping that more of the high school kids will want to do it because they're like, it's sort of like CFK on any topic. And I do know there are kids at the high school that use the framework for this, who've been through this, and then they use it for their Caring for the Kenai project. And I actually did a training with Merrill and all the science teachers a couple of years ago on like how to use the categories to brainstorm topics with
That's
your students.
Great, yeah.
So it's pretty awesome stuff.